Vision is the show that helps to build and inspire our youth. This show highlights and finds solutions to the difficulties that teens and young adults face today. We will open the eyes of our youth and show them that the world is waiting for them to explore. Make sure that you are plugged in as we work together to find solutions to empower ourselves. The era of youth is to believe that intelligence is a substitute for experience, while the era of age is to believe experience is a substitute for intelligence. Ernest Hemingway quotes. Get plugged in with Chelsea Francois every first and second Wednesday here on the podcast. Hello, everyone. I'm Chelsea Francois, and with me I have the pleasure of interviewing Ms. Rashida Randall today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. I was super excited to interview you specifically because of your upcoming film, Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me. That really got me excited, and I saw that you also worked with Mrs. Ori, who I've had on the show a few times, and my listeners are familiar with her because I speak about her all the time. She's one of my favorite people.
Oh, yeah.
I was excited.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for that.
No, of course. And I also wanted, because you are a filmmaker and writer and all these different things that come with you as a package, I wanted to have you on the show because, of course, typically in school we speak about being a lawyer, a doctor, and a teacher. That's like one of the main things that we speak about, but not often is it that we speak about becoming filmmakers, you know, or creators. So I wanted someone who was a creator and a filmmaker. You know, those are the people I look for to be on the show so that we can broaden our perspectives on what careers are out there.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you.
Okay, but I wanted to start off to ask you, when did you realize you wanted to be a writer / filmmaker?
Well, I started writing short stories at a very young age. I participated in what was called the Young Authors Program. But as far as filmmaking, I didn't really know that I had a knack for filmmaking until I got to college. But even then, I wasn't really pursuing it. At that time, I wanted to direct music videos. But I wrote my first full-length feature film in 2011, and then from there, you know, a new career blossomed.
Okay, and what is the Young Authors Program, and so that the listeners can know exactly what that is and if they want to be a part of it, how they can be?
Well, I can honestly say I don't know that it still exists. When I was in grade school in Indianapolis, Indiana, there was this Young Authors Program where, you know, they would give us these blank books, these, like, literally blank books, and we would write and illustrate the book ourselves. And they'd go on display. I think there was even, like, competition and things like that. I haven't really heard much about it since, but, you know, you never know. I would definitely encourage people to, you know, look into that kind of thing and that may be happening in their community and they don't even know about it or within their school.
Yeah, of course. And I also wanted to ask you about the film that you said that you had in 2011. Like, what was that? What was that about?
Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me?
No, the film that you had in 2011.
Oh, the film that I wrote in 2011 is called Never Too Late. And that is about a woman who, she's been secluded from her family for over a decade. There was some incidences that occurred in her youth, molestation at the hands of her father, that kind of thing. Her mother knew what was going on, but she wouldn't help her. She wouldn't do anything about it, and so they sent her away, and she became pregnant, and, you know, it's just about, you know, it's about family and forgiveness. She kind of holds all of those things in for years, and she holds this grudge against her family, and then years later, she gets word that her father died, and she goes back to her hometown to kind of try to bury those demons and to kind of try to make amends with her family. And, you know, a lot of secrets and stuff come out and, you know, new plot twists and that kind of thing. But in the end, it's mostly about forgiveness.
Okay, and because those are, like, such strong messages that you have in your films, where do you get your information ideas for your writing?
Life. And experiences, you know, some of it is completely made up, I'll admit that. But, you know, most of the time there's always some sort of life experience that either belongs to me or someone that's close to me that's kind of incorporated mm-hmm. into the film somehow.
And then what are some of the most surprising things you've learned in creating your films or in writing? What are some of the surprising things that you've learned?
You know, I don't really know. I don't know if this will be surprising, but things don't always go as planned. You know, you yeah. map things out and you see things the way that you see them, but when it all gets down to it, it can go a totally different way, especially with filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It can be unpredictable because it's dependent on so many different things. You know, you may have in your head the way an actor says one line, but when that actor gets a hold of that script, then they do it totally different, and you're like, oh, I never saw it that way.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've learned is, you know, just how far I can push myself. I once wrote a feature film script in 4 days. A film and feature film in 4 days, and I never thought in a million years that I would be able, because sometimes, you know, I get out of these writings, like I get out of focus, and I'll go and do something else, and then 5 months later I'll come back to a script. But to sit down and, you know, push myself as far as I have, especially with that script, you know, that was very, very surprising to me. And then also just to see other people be as passionate about my work as I am, that's always mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's always a good feeling. Now, I wanted to ask you, how did you work with the different personalities and opinions that came along with working with others?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
I said, how did you work with the different personalities and opinions that came along with working with others?
Oh, well, gosh, okay. So I try to keep a positive attitude about everything. But, you know, you just kind of got to set those boundaries early on. With my cast for Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me, we were pretty much all friends to begin with, or they were there because they were a friend of someone. And so it meshed very well together. You know, didn't have any issues. There's other sets and projects and groups that I've worked with where, you know, you get a lot of strong personalities and they do clash. But, you know, as long as you just try to keep that positive outlook on it, then, you know, you can get through it.
I definitely agree. And what experience would you say affects the person that you are today the most?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I would definitely say my childhood, for one,
mm-hmm.
Just the way that I grew up. You know, there were so many different roads that I could have taken, and they could have all been bad, but I learned to see something greater in me. And, you know, I went forward. I always like to say I'm a product of my environment, but not in the way that you would think. You could fall victim to your environment, or you can overcome your environment. And I think that's what I've done, and it took a lot to get me to realize that. But once I did, I never looked back. And then also I would say, you know, losing my mother, that also affected how, you know, who I am today and how I deal with certain things. But, yeah, I won't go too much into that stuff so I get emotional.
I completely understand. I'm talking about moms is a touchy subject.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you could give someone a piece of advice, whether it's someone that's, you know, going to college or someone who's not sure what they want to do or someone who wants to go into the filmmaking industry, what would that advice be and why?
Oh, gosh. The filmmaking industry, for one, is just the entertainment industry is probably one of the hardest fields to break into. So I would definitely say never stop believing in you. Not everyone is going to understand your dreams, and that's okay. They don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't let that stop you from chasing them. You know, if you're passionate about it, pray about it and go after it. Like, you don't have to. I think if you don't, a lot of times people, they tend to regret the choices that they made or that they didn't make. So if you aren't living in your passion or living in your purpose, you know, or even at least trying to achieve them, then I believe that you will live your life in regret. You know, but as far as the entertainment industry goes, you know, make sure you have tough skin, because a whole lot of faith, because, you know, dream chasing is not easy at all.
Of course. And when you touched on living in your passion and your purpose and, you know, to keep going, that has to be something that is very important, because maybe my last three interviews, my interviewees have touched on that. You know, it's, when I ask about advice or what they would say to someone who's going to college, you know, they touched on that. So I'm pretty sure it's a pretty prominent topic that people go through, you know, to find themselves and to search what they want to do. So I think whoever's listening and should hear that should probably hear it, because it just keeps reoccurring. So I just believe that someone needs to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because when you're living in your passion and you're living in your purpose, then, you know, that right there, you're doing what you've always wanted to do or what you are meant to do, and you get so much fulfillment out of it. So, I mean, I know for me, I left Indianapolis. I left stability in Indianapolis, a good job, a house, and on a lake and all that stuff, just to move to Atlanta and pursue a dream and, you know, moved into an apartment. And, you know, it's been a struggle. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy, but I'm still here because I'm living in my passion and in my purpose.
And we're talking to different people. I realize that when you do want to do something and become successful, that it's not always easy, and it just doesn't always come to you overnight, and you have to just, you know, just stay at it.
And that's what I say about, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know what who everyone believes in or what everyone believes in, but I know that I believe in God. And when you have that that faith that I have in God, then I know that I'm okay. Like, whatever struggles that I have going on, I know that He's got it, and it's all for a good reason. And in the end, I'm going to overcome it. You know, things could feel like they are the low of the low, but something greater is on the other side. And once you just hold His hand through it, you can get through anything, and I am living proof of that. I don't want to get too preachy or anything like that, but I'm living proof of that, because these last couple of years have been, you know, it has been difficult. I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all, but it's different, and it's uncomfortable. And sometimes God puts you in these uncomfortable situations in order for you to grow from it.
And I agree, because there's been some trying times. And with that, I wanted to ask you, what are some of your future goals and aspirations? Like, how far do you see yourself taking your filmmaking career?
All the way. I want to be the next Oprah. And I know that's cliche. I do. I know that's cliche. But, you know, she, if you think about it, she does it all. She acts. She creates. She builds. She inspires. And she gives. And I want to do all that, too. You know, I have my hands in just about every aspect of the entertainment industry. I've been in broadcast news. I've been an on-air reporter. I've been a news producer. I've done film. I produce stage plays. Like, I've done it all. I can do it all. And, you know, I want to secure my place in Hollywood just as she did, you know, by creating memorable content, whether it's with acting or writing or producing or directing or whatever it is. I want to take my craft and my company and take it to the next level. And the next level, and the next level, and just use my artistry to inspire and give back to others.
Of course, and it's all about, you know, building your brand and sending whatever message you're conveying out there, like whatever you want and need people to know. It's all about being proficient and actually getting the word out.
Absolutely.
And what would you say is society's biggest struggle when it comes to expressing ourselves, being that you write and produce movies that have so much to do with emotion? So what would you say is our biggest struggle when it comes to expressing ourselves?
Oh, gosh. When it comes to society, I think social media plays a really big part in society's issue. I really do. You know, so many people just let other people, and they let memes just dictate their lives, you know? It's starting to shape society to think that, you know, you have to look a certain way, or you know, you have to be a certain way or act a certain way, and if you're not, you're not good enough. And that's with anything. That can be with your career. It can be, you know, your appearance. It can be anything. And, you know, it glorifies things that shouldn't be glorified. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it's getting to the point now where you have to just watch everything that you say and watch what you post and try not to offend this person or that person or this group. And it can be frustrating sometimes. It can be frustrating sometimes. And then me as a filmmaker, sometimes I try to create, you know, content around that to try to bring awareness to certain things and you know, just try to find the good in everything. You know, sometimes I love social media, other times I hate it.
Yeah, of course. And I don't know if you're familiar with Brandon Garrett and Jonathan Castile, which I'm sure you are, but I had them on the show a few weeks back to speak about Activation Vision Tools, which is the empowerment CD that they have. And one of the tracks is entitled The Perfect Woman, and it speaks, and it's a spoken word of this young lady speaking about how she searched through Google and social media to find what the perfect woman was, and she saw no one that looked like her. And then she went into saying what was the perfect woman, which was just about any woman fit in the category that she explained. And I think it's just positive messages that are put out there that are important to combat what is said in social media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what's so great about, like, the Lipstick Monologues with Audrey and her mission, you know, her platform. We need more people like that who, you know, are trying to inspire and empower these women to let you know that you are beautiful inside and out, regardless of what social media tells you that you have to be.
Exactly. And I wanted to ask you more about things my daddy should have told me. I wanted to ask you about, for some insight on your main character. Like, what does he or she do that is so special?
Well, there are actually three main characters. Mm-hmm. There's Mira, Carmen, and Andrea. And I play Andrea in the film. Mm-hmm. But these women, they're all best friends, and they have been since they were kids. But they each are going through something within their own personal lives that stems from their childhood and how they were raised. And you see that goes back to what I was saying about how I use my life experiences in my films and, you know, also how my childhood has affected me a little bit. There's a part of me in this film. And and it's not necessarily with each character, but each character has their own issue, their own concern. But on the surface, it's like they have it all together, but they're really very, very scarred. And so they have to figure out how to set these things aside to be able to progress in life, whether it's in their relationships or in their careers or whatever the case may be. So just to give an example, my character, Andrea, you know, she grew up with both of her parents up until a certain point, and due to infidelity, her father ended up, you know, leaving the household, and her mother, like, used her as a pawn against her father. So then when she grows up into, you know, she's got this perfect husband, and they have this perfect life, and they're like a model couple, and here he is wanting children, and she doesn't. And so that caused conflicts in her marriage, and that's all because of her fear of becoming her mother.
And there's so many layers to stories like that. And I'm always excited to watch movies like that because we do see these different, like when we walk past someone in the supermarket, you know, we see oh, everything looks normal. Like, you know, you think everything's fine, but you just don't know what the at-home situation is. And you just don't know all the built-up tension that that person has had to deal with throughout those years.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to, you know, write this film. You know, so many people go through so many different things. This film is very relatable. You know, I guarantee you know somebody like somebody in this film. Or somebody who's going through something similar. There's, you know, love, there's pain, there's hurt, there's domestic violence, there's all kinds of stuff in it.
And what are some other projects that you have done that you have done?
Okay. Well, oh gosh, I've done quite a few, you know, different projects. But some, I guess I could talk about some of the up and coming projects that I have coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the film premiere for Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me. That's tomorrow. And mm-hmm. that is sold out. Yay. But I also have the Lipstick Monologue with Arjury coming up, and that will be on October the 29th in Atlanta. I have an episode of Swamp Murders that comes out on the Investigation Discovery channel. That's on August 30th. And then I've got a couple of film projects. There's one called The Last Time that's currently in production that I'm working on. There's a web series called Grit that I'm a part of as well. So, I mean, I have a really, really busy, busy plate. We've got a premiere of Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me in Indianapolis on September the 9th. But, yeah, so I'm working. I'm very grateful to be able to say that I am doing what I love and consistently.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry. I was asked. You were speaking about some of your future products, and you said that projects, and you said that the premiere of Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me comes out tomorrow, and it's sold out.
Yes, it is. It is sold out. And it's crazy. It's like the hottest ticket in town, and I'm not bragging at all. It's just the truth. Like, there's literally a waiting list. There's literally a waiting list of people trying to get tickets to the show, so for the premiere. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Oh, and I'm excited. Will this will the film be available on CD anytime soon for those who can't make it to the premiere?
It will. It will. Eventually, we're going to try our hand at a few film festivals. We have the premiere in Indy coming up after the premiere in Atlanta. So we go to Indianapolis on September the 9th. Then we'll lock it down to send it around to some film festivals, and then after that, we will release it on DVD.
Okay, and I have one more question. Okay. I wanted to ask you about if you are ever going to turn these films into maybe novels or seminars that can be hosted based on the film.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? As far as seminars go, I have never thought of that. You might be onto something. That's a good idea. but it's crazy because I did have a publisher who had reached out to me about turning Never Too Late, which is the very first film that I ever wrote, about turning that into a novel. And I started it, and I never finished it. I never went back and finished it. So, I mean, it might be something that I'll explore later down the line.
Looking to later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to get a message out, because also there's the campaign going on, The Art of Storytelling, and it's just talking about how it's important to write out how what we've been through, you know. And I always say that mm-hmm. repeating the same mistakes that someone else has made is a waste of time. You know, I always say that because, say, my sister made certain mistakes, I probably should make some new mistakes because I saw what happened to her. So that's why I say it's a waste of time, because the point is to keep growing and keep flourishing, and I don't think we can do that with continuously making the same mistakes, the same generational mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And I wanted to ask you, how can we stay in touch with you, maybe through social media or any website? Can we stay in touch with you to keep up with future projects?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at SimplySheeda, that's SHEDA. And then I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/actressRashedaRandall. That's RashedaRandle. And then also you can follow, if you want to keep up with Things My Daddy Should Have Told Me, that Facebook page is just the the first letter of it's the acronym. So it's TNBSTN.
Okay, and thank you so much for the opportunity to interview you and speak about your upcoming film.
Thank you for having me. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it. I look forward to maybe speaking with you again when it comes time for Lipstick Monologues.
No, of course. Always remember that you will become successful, you are intelligent, and you will rise above. Thank you for listening to Plugged In with Chelsea Francois.
It's a different world.
It's a different world.